In Michigan, construction and demolition waste makes up between 25 to 40% of all landfill waste. In the U.S. as a whole, construction and demolition, or C&D, creates 143 million metric tons of waste annually. This equates to about 1.6 million homes every year. This excessive landfilling has negative impacts not only on the environment, but on the economy and society as well, with many communities, especially cities, facing entrenched blight and abandonment. We need to rethink the way we handle blight removal, demolition, and structures from design to end of life. Domecology is that new way of thinking. Domecology is the study of the economic, social, and environmental characteristics relating to the life cycle of the built environment. Domecologists recognize that man-made structures have a life cycle. They examine the life cycle continuum of the built environment and plan, design, construct, and deconstruct in order to maximize the reuse of materials and minimize the negative impacts of a structure's end of useful life. They identify innovative tools, models, policies, practices, and programs that can sustainably address a structural life cycle. And they conduct research on the technical, economic, and policy challenges present in a structure's life cycle and seek to reduce the negative social, economic, and environmental impacts associated with structural abandonment. This domecological continuum and circular economy includes everything from the design of a structure to the sale and reuse of materials after deconstruction. Another important aspect to domecology and the domecological continuum is the policy that influences each sector in conducting research on what good sustainable policy looks like. On our podcast today, we'll go more in depth with each of our domecological principles, using examples from across the domecological continuum, including the design of sustainable products, research and sustainable business methods, assisting communities currently facing issues with blight, and the salvage and sale of used construction materials. The first objective of domecology is to recognize that man-made structures have a life cycle. This means acknowledging that structures don't last forever, and people continue to build new structures every day. Ideally, manufacturers, designers, and builders would plan for the end of life of these new structures from conception. Yet, too often, the end of a structure's useful life cycle results in blight and waste.
Generally speaking, I think of blight in terms of the resulting impact that property is having on the surrounding residents and businesses. It's the point at which that the vacancy or the physical condition of that property starts negatively impacting the properties around it.
That was Danielle Lewinsky, Vice President and Director of Michigan Initiatives at the Center for Community Progress, the only national nonprofit specifically dedicated to fostering strong, equitable communities where vacant, abandoned, and deteriorated properties are transformed into assets for neighbors and neighborhoods. Blight and demolition are both examples of when a structure has met the end of its useful life in a way harmful to the environment, economy, and the community where that structure is. With a new way of thinking, the end of life on a structure does not need to equate to waste.
On the innovation side, I think that there needs to be development of materials that are designed not just to be disassembled, but to be reused. So whole wall panels can come out of one building and go into another building.
Mike Mazur, former building scientist at Dow Chemical for 30 years and professor of building science at Michigan State University, who now focuses his work on carbon mitigation. On a larger scale, we must also think about how our production in general impacts the environment and acknowledge that our current rate of production is not sustainable.
Why is it important to reuse materials, and what are the consequences of not reusing materials?
I come from a sustainability background, so reuse of materials is extremely important. And the basic reason for that is the population of Earth is exceeding the carrying capacity of the ecosystems that had come into equilibrium to the point that they were able to nurture our species. And we are consuming materials so quickly and at such a rapid pace that some kind of radical resource reuse campaign is needed in order for us to pull back to the point where we can be more in balance with the natural systems that support life.
Speaking on this is Bill Stow, president of Sustainable Research Group, an organization of experienced industry professionals dedicated to identifying, documenting, and improving business performance by using principles that move our clients to and beyond green to become economically sound, environmentally healthy, and socially responsible. Domecology focuses on minimizing the negative impacts of a structure's end of life. With a focus on material reuse, not only does this keep building materials out of landfills, but also reduces the overconsumption of raw materials. By recognizing that man-made structures have a life cycle, blight and demolition can be replaced with more sustainable practices, such as deconstruction and creating building materials that are meant to be removed and reused. The second objective of domecology is to examine the life cycle continuum of the built environment and plan, design, construct, and deconstruct in order to maximize the reuse of materials and minimize the negative effects of a structure's end of useful life. This is also what we may call a circular economy, or the domecological continuum. Instead of a linear economy, where a product is produced, consumed, and then disposed of, the circular economy instead finds a new market or reuse for a product at the end of its first life, such as with deconstruction. Deconstruction is the disassembling of a structure to take out maximum material for salvage. Unfortunately, however, demolition is still a much more widely used practice.
And the problem is that, you know, throughout the country, I think only about 2,000 houses, maybe 3,000 a year, go under the deconstruction umbrella. The EPA estimates that 250,000 single-family dwellings go the way of the bulldozer or the excavator.
Here we have Ted Reif, president and founder of The Reuse People. The Reuse People is an environmental nonprofit organization that salvages and distributes used building materials. The Reuse People is an excellent example of a business that deconstructs homes, salvages any useful material, and then sells that material.
We started in 1993, and we just started originally just collecting materials. Dumpster diving, if you will, or people dropping them off. About a year and a half later, we couldn't get enough materials, so we decided to get into our own deconstruction business, and I became a licensed contractor.
Deconstruction is one of the primary ways to utilize the circular economy of building materials, but is still a relatively unknown practice.
So we're only getting, you know, 0.1% of what's actually being demolished. And the reason for that is not enough people know what deconstruction is, what the benefits are, and who benefits from the outcome.
There is a growing desire for deconstruction and other sustainable reuse methods. The Center for Community Progress cites that the communities they work with have expressed interest in more sustainable blight removal techniques.
So we've had a number of communities that have expressed a lot of interest in utilizing other structure removal techniques, things like deconstruction, trying to maximize material salvage or recycling, either with the intent to spur more economic growth or with the intent to ensure that there's less debris that's going into landfills.
To create less debris in the first place, the circular economy starts with conceptualizing products and structures that can be reused, created with the end of the life of the product in mind.
I think the beauty of the circular economy mentality is as you build, this is some stuff that we're doing at Dow now, is in the R&D lab, before people have even, you know, made a new material or tried to develop a new chemistry, they're already thinking about what's the end of life of this going to be like, or what could it be like? And does it even need to have an end of life? You know, can life A morph right into life B, morph into life C?
Throughout the domological continuum, from creation, such as with Thau's research and development, considering how a structure's end of life can morph right into another life, to removal of no longer useful structures, there are opportunities to reduce the amount of waste created. Since 1993, the reuse people alone have diverted over 400,000 tons of waste from landfills and deconstructed over 3,400 homes. On a larger scale, consistent deconstruction practices could divert 90% of C&D waste from landfills. That is a 128 point million metric tons of waste that could potentially be reused or recycled. However, to achieve this, we need to build the markets for those products, create policy to support this type of work, and provide resources to businesses to teach sustainable practices. The third objective of domecology is to identify innovative tools, models, policies, practices, and programs that can sustainably address a structural life cycle. Policies in the past have created issues in housing, including entrenched blight in cities. In Detroit, for example, in 2014, 22% or 84,641 properties in the city were considered blighted.
The communities that CCP are working with tend to be those that are dealing with entrenched vacancy. That is not just a few units, but really the result of a history of economic and population decline spurred by a whole bunch of policies and other general trends.
There are still policies that hinder a municipality's ability to remove blight in a sustainable way, including a lack of funding.
One of the broader concerns or challenges that we've seen is as these communities which have extensive or sort of hyper vacancy and phenomenal challenges and needs around building removal, the amount of local, state, and federal funding is diminishing, and it's continuing to put pressure on communities that still have a need to do structure removal. Because when resources, whether that be hardest hit funds or before then, neighborhood stabilization program funds come down the pike and there is sort of date certain on when you need to expend these resources, that's really when we see communities making sort of shorter term decisions in order to utilize resources or get as many structures down as possible, really sort of missing opportunities to either build in more strategy components or other components to hit goals like ensuring that residents are protected from the environmental harm that can come from deconstructing or demolishing a building, but also other economic development opportunities that come from dealing with building removal.
And other policies create red tape around deconstruction due to unnecessary requirements.
There are a lot of local organizations, local municipalities that don't allow demolition until the new building plan has been approved. And I think that's ridiculous, because one of the problems with deconstruction is time. There's two problems with deconstruction: time and money. It always costs more and it always takes longer. So one of the ways to get away from at least half of the problem of time is to allow people or owners to deconstruct a building without the building plans for the new building being approved.
If policies help create the problems we're seeing in entrenched blight and the resulting waste streams, new, more economically, environmentally, and socially sustainable policies can help reverse this damage and create positive change.
I think that the cities, state, and local primarily, maybe to some extent the feds, can do their own, should do their own deconstruction. So then the other thing on promoting it is just getting out there and letting the cities, the counties, and the states do their own or demand that when one of their government buildings is coming down, that it must go to deconstruction. Or some percentage of them, maybe not 100%, but maybe 25, 30, 40, 50%. Because again, the key is to awaken the rest of the world and the rest of our population as to what the benefits are of deconstruction.
In several cities throughout the U.S., including Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas, and many others, municipal governments have enacted policies that require a minimum percentage of materials to be salvaged in all demolition projects, or have limits on the amount of waste that can be landfilled in a demolition project. These policies can help sustainably address a structural life cycle. Other policies researched by domacologists include a mandatory insurance policy that holds property owners accountable for a structure from construction until demolition, the goal being to minimize the burden of abandonment on taxpayers and municipalities, and to divert C&D waste from landfills. This deconstruction policy is similar to extended producer responsibility, where producers of a product must consider and are responsible for its end of life. This policy would hold those who use or construct structures accountable for a structure's end-of-life cost by purchasing an insurance policy that would secure the cost of deconstruction of the structure, as well as site restoration and cleanup. In addition to good policy, domacology seeks to identify innovative practices, models, tools, and programs to further the circular economy and strengthen the domacological continuum. This includes working closely with businesses that have developed these practices in hopes of recreating and molding those practices to improve other businesses in the continuum. Dow, for example, sees themselves as a leader in business sustainability and sets clear goals for their company, which can serve as a model for other businesses to become sustainable as well.
So we're on our third decade of sustainability goals. Our first decade, we focused on what we call doing less bad. So in essence, stuff inside our fence line, reducing emissions, improving our safety program, things like that. And then the second decade, which ended in 2015, was to more look at what do we make and how can we make it better? How can we make the solutions better for the customers, whether it's product safety or whether it's energy efficiency, or whether it's downgauging of packaging materials. So in that case, we started to look at our handprint, if you will. So the first decade was reduce our footprint. The second decade was get a better handle on our handprint. And now we're in our third decade, and we haven't stopped doing either one of those two prior things, but we're trying to look more out and see where Dow as a major business with, you know, customers all over the world, factories all over the world, can basically get other businesses to kind of join us in doing these similar things. Because although we have scale, we need collaboration to really get things done, whether it's other businesses, whether it's governments, whether it's NGOs.
Well, the Reuse people also created a deconstruction worker training program that they were able to administer around the country, creating hundreds of new jobs.
The other thing we did was start training other contractors around the country to do deconstruction to our specifications, and then delivering it to local partner warehouses like a Habitat for Humanity or someone like that. We started a deconstruction training program for workers, and we've now done, I don't know, 500, 600 workers throughout the country. And it's a certificated course in deconstruction where we actually take a building down. So it's not just classroom, but it's both classroom and actual activity in the field.
The study of domacology includes finding examples such as these, learning what they do and how they do it, and in what ways their methods are effective, and share those methods with other stakeholders along the continuum.
We've always tried to engage outside players because you can't do it yourself, but we didn't believe that we could be considered an industry leader until we got our own house in order.
The fourth and final domacological objective is to conduct research on technical, economic, and policy challenges present in a structural's life cycle and seek to reduce the negative social, economic, and environmental impacts associated with structural abandonment. The Sustainable Research Group has conducted research on the green consumer, or rather, the type of consumer that ideas such as sustainability and domacology appeal to.
Many market studies have shown that there's varying shades of willingness to participate in ecological solutions. You know, there's the deep greens, people that do, that will do things because they just feel in their soul that it's the right thing to do. They're a very small portion of the overall population, but they're the ones that are, in many respects, the opinion leaders. So one strategy is to connect with those deep green consumers and express why this fits in with their values. The next strategy is for that part of the market that they're sympathetic to the environment, but it has to be convenient. In those cases, you might have to make a monetary case that, you know what, this is good for the environment, but it also will save you money one way or another, or it's more convenient for you to do. It's a harder argument, but the number of people is much larger. So even a small incremental success has large impacts.
Part of domecological research involves how to create self-sustaining markets out of used building materials so that a domecological mindset is not only better for the environment, but more economically efficient.
More and more people understand the issues. So a green consumer, to me, is someone that looks at what I'll call the entire cost of something. So they take into account the externalities. So they're willing to pay the higher costs for the added environmental attributes that the product brings to them.
Research already completed here at the Center for Community and Economic Development includes research on how the insurance policy could end the taxpayer burden of structural abandonment. Policies such as this one take into account the possible end of life and hold someone accountable for the structure in case of abandonment. Other research includes trying to examine and develop the reuse markets for construction materials.
One of the challenges for industry getting to scale in the sustainability area is things may change while you're in the middle of getting to scale. You have to have these decade-long goals. And within the middle of your decade, things may change. So in addition to getting to scale, you have to be pragmatic enough to pivot if necessary. So that's a little scary sometimes.
We are in the midst of intense climate change. But we cannot ignore that people will continue to develop and build new structures. New development is inevitable. How we choose to develop can minimize the environmental impact of this new development. In addition, by removing blight and repurposing the materials, we can minimize the negative social impacts of abandoned structures while creating positive social change in these communities with new jobs created through deconstruction and the newly cleared parcels of land. By utilizing the circular economy, domecology seeks to create a structural life cycle that creates positive impacts on the economy, society, and the environment. For more information about domecology, visit domecology.msu.edu. That is domecology.msu.edu. To learn more about the work of the MSU Center for Community and Economic Development, visit our website at ced.msu.edu or follow us on social media at MSU_CCED.